The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Well, I appreciate Brother and Mrs. Freidenstein. I'm so glad they're here. I really am. And I enjoy, you know, being around them. I really do. My wife and I have had the privilege to go on a double date with them and just enjoy their company. And if you get to know them, I know you'll be blessed by getting to know them. I want to speak to you tonight on living above reproach. Living above reproach. Here, David is being used of God to be able to pen this psalm. And in Psalm 101, verses 1 through 3, as I reread it here, it says, I will sing of the mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. He says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. When wilt thou come unto me? I will walk therein, it says, watch what it says. I will walk, it says, within my house with a perfect heart. Then he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I think it's very important that you and I always try to live a life that we're not a stumbling block to others. It's strange, I think, strange bedfellows is those that name the name of Christ, and yet they have hooks in them from a strange world that knows not Christ. One day a preacher was coming home and he saw his daughter. She'd been out playing and she fell in the mud. And so he looked at her and said, hey, you're pretty dirty. And this little child, being at 6 years of age, she said, oh, daddy, I know I'm pretty, but I'll be pretty when I'm clean too, you know. And but did you know sometimes in our hearts we feel that we are close to the Lord, but if we do things that causes others to stumble, we need to be careful and we need to stop. Years ago, we carried a book table with us everywhere we went, and I would carry anywhere between, $500 on a low week when we were preaching revivals to upward to $1,500 or so on the book table. And we carried different types of books and stuff like that. I was very careful what I carried on the book table because I didn't want to put a book out there that would cause a young believer in Christ to stumble. And so I wanted to carry books on the table that had people that knew and taught and preached good Bible doctrine. And so I was careful what I put. All the books, by the way, that's in our bookstore. Brother Palmer does not choose them. I choose them. And I choose what goes in. I choose what stays in. I choose what comes out. I choose what goes in at various times because I want to be able to help you. And I believe I'm going to be accountable to the Lord for the things that I put before you. And I want to be very careful to put the right things before you whereby I can give it a good answer unto the Lord. I want us to understand tonight that God's love is not based on what you do or you do not do. God's love does not change. He loves you. If you're obedient to him, he loves you. If you're not obedient to him, he loves you. His love, it doesn't get greater or it doesn't get smaller based on the way you live, based on the way that you act. It doesn't get larger. It doesn't get smaller. However, blessings come by obedience. And so as we choose, as children of God, to be more obedient to God, I believe that there is more blessings in store for the walk of obedience. Now, how is it tonight that we, being children of God, living in a world tonight that is not a world that views God in a favorable way in most places? How is it that you and I could live above reproach? What is it tonight that you and I could put into our lives that would help us be able to have a testimony that is a testimony for Christ, that's a good testimony? Let me give you a couple of things tonight, if I may. Statement number one, focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Don't focus on other people. Can I tell you that other people will let you down? Other people will come up short. other people, whether they be preachers, whether they be missionaries, whether they be evangelists, whether they would be Christian school educators, whether they would be secretaries that work, or somebody sings in the choir, or somebody plays in an orchestra someplace, or somebody works as an usher, or somebody that would take and be a counselor. You have to be careful not to put your eyes too much on man, because man is destined to fall at one time or another. Matter of fact, when the Bible talks about man falling, it says, when ye fall. Doesn't say if ye fall, it says, when ye fall. So we know that one time or another, you're going to fall short of being that one that you ought to be for Christ. All right, now wait a minute. If you look at somebody at the time of their falling, you could get discouraged. Stay with me. If you look at somebody at the time of their shortcoming, you could get discouraged. I wish that we could all look at people when they're most spiritual. Isn't it funny how, as we look at Lot sitting there in the gate of Sodom, we could say that, oh, a wicked man, wicked man, wicked man. But God waited till the end of his life to pass judgment, and at the end of his life, God himself called him Lot the righteous. Now, I want us to be careful tonight not to pass a judgment that is too quick. I believe everybody at time to time will go through valleys in their life. I believe everybody at time to time will be great soul winners and on fire for God. But there's going to be some times, no doubt, along the way when somebody's going to dip and they're not be all that they should be for Christ. By the way, that's true in your life too. There was years gone by when you read your Bible greater than you're reading it today, or perhaps you're reading your Bible greater today than you did years gone by. There was times in your life when you rendered unto God a greater service than perhaps what you're rendering unto God this very hour. There was times in your life when you felt closer to God than what you feel perhaps tonight. There's times in every relationship, including that relationship with God himself, when you will see that people falter and fail. But now, wait a minute. If that is going to happen, let's decide that we're not going to live there. My Bible says, yea, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Doesn't say that when you fall that you lay down in the valley of the shadow of death, nor does it say that you sit in the valley of the shadow of death, nor does it say that you hastily run through the valley of the shadow of death. No, he wants you to walk through it so that you can notice all the surroundings, notice all the things that you need to learn by as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, what is it, however, that you and I could focus on whereby we can be that person that lives above reproach? Let me give you a couple things. Step number one, focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord, as I said a moment ago. Over in Psalm, notice in your Bible, over in Psalm 101, and we'll stay in this particular Psalm tonight. Psalm 101, if you have a Bible, it would be good to use your Bible in church. That's how God speaks to your heart, by the way. All right? Psalm 101 in verse 1, the Bible says, I will sing of the mercy. It says, I will sing of mercy. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. All right, so there's singing involved here. There's somebody that's saying, I'm going to take, here's David, the one speaking, I believe, the one giving us this particular psalm, and saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And by the way, David knew the valleys of life, but David chose to sing even in the valleys of life. Over in Psalm 101 and verse 6, he said, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and they that they may dwell with me. So he's got his eyes in a certain place. Who is he looking at? He's looking at the faithful of the land. By the way, as we get older in the Lord, we still ought to be faithful. Amen. As all of a sudden the gray hairs come or the hairs leave, we ought to be faithful. You say, well, I was faithful all the days that my children were young. You ought to be faithful all the days that your children get old too. I mean, there ought to be people that can look at your life and say, one thing I know for sure is that was a faithful child of God. Now the Bible says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, David says, and they that they may dwell with me. He that walketh, it says, he that walketh in the perfect way, he shall, watch what it says, serve me. All right, now wait a minute. And so as we see him echoing back and talking there about the Lord even. Not only do we see that it's talking about the Lord and how the Lord's eyes are on the faithful of the land, but also the children of God, such as David, his eyes is on the faithful of the land. Years ago, there was a preacher that was traveling, and he was an evangelist, and he was traveling through, and he stayed at a young couple's home out in the country. And early in the morning, the young wife of the man there in the house got up, and she was singing, and she was singing the song, it says, near my God to thee. She was singing, near my God to thee. And boy, he was just so impressed by her singing, and he came down from upstairs as the breakfast was brewing and being cooked and stuff, and he said, that's amazing. You wake up in the morning, you're singing praises unto God. Why so? She said, well, that's how I boil the eggs. She said, if it's somebody that wants a soft egg, I sing three of the stanzas. If it's somebody that wants hard-boiled eggs, I sing five of the stanzas. That's how I predict how long to be able to boil the eggs. By the way, are you listening to me? That's not really a bad way. I mean, if you do things that are of God, that's not really a bad way to be able to judge things. And it's good to be able to sing unto the Lord. Over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks, it says, always, it says, for all things unto God and the Father, it says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to sing. You ever catch yourself singing? You ever do that? You ever walk down the hallway and you catch yourself singing? And then you listen to yourself and all of a sudden you put a zipper on it and say, I better not do that no more. You know, I mean, the animals in the neighborhood are fleeing, you know, I mean, and so now wait a minute, watch this. Okay, there's nothing wrong. And by the way, when a person breaks forth in song and it's a good, solid Christian song, can I tell you that echoes how their heart is? I mean, what would it be like to be able to sing and break out in song and be able to continue to sing? Now, wait a minute, though. So what do? As we do sing, we focus on the Lord. We focus on the Lord. As a man thinketh, so is he. What we're thinking upon is going to come out. It's going to come out. It's going to come out. You think upon curse words and you say them under your breath, there's going to be a day when you slip. It's going to come out. You hear a joke, and it's not a good joke, but there will be a day. Oh, you hear a bad song or something like that, and there will be a day when you find yourself humming it. Humming it. What you put in will eventually come out. So if you put the right things in, then eventually those right things will come out. I heard about that little rock star that was down in Florida, and she just finished up her rock concert, and she stepped outside, and a gunman came up and killed that little girl, and her brother tackled that gunman and became, they said, the hero of the hour. But I think if she never would have got messed up and mixed up in the rock music, she'd probably still have her life. Because the crowd that you run with will most certainly depict, perhaps, your very end. Now, can I say tonight, I'm saying this, focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn to sing those things that will help you to be able to focus on God and to go forward and focusing on God. How about praying without ceasing? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. How about this, where the Bible says a moment ago, where I quoted it over in Psalm 1 and verses 1 and 2, where it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, though. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. That means he thinks deeply upon day and night. So we take the word of God in. The word of God in. Many years ago, a lady started reading her Bible, and her pastor was so proud of her and said, I'm so glad that you're reading your Bible. She said, I'm so glad my Bible's reading me. You know, because the more you read your Bible, the more that God will show you things in your life. There was the golf legend by the name of Arnold Palmer, and Arnold Palmer was overconfident in this particular match, and it was in 1961 at the Masters Tournament, and he was already one stroke ahead, and he was very satisfied. He had done well, and he just hit another satisfying tee shot as he had hit that ball, and he was in pretty good shape. all of a sudden, as he was walking up, getting ready to go again and to hit the ball, an old friend he saw at the edge of the galley, and the old friend said with a motioned hand, come here. And he bent over, and he shook his hand, and he said, the old friend said, congratulations, you got it. And he said this, he said, when I reached over to shake his hand, I know I lost my focus. When I reached over to shake his hand, I know I lost my focus. And I lost that match. Now, can I tell you, listen, you have to be careful to focus on the Lord. Keep your focus on the Lord. People would disappoint you. People would come up shy. People would take, and my wife and daughter, they were in heavy traffic. And I love the story. I hope I tell it right. But they were in heavy traffic, and there was an 18-wheeler that was sitting in heavy traffic, and the traffic started to move along. This just happened this week. Traffic started to move along, and there was a man sitting in this 18-wheeler, and he had his head cocked back. And his mouth was open. I mean, for certain, he looked like a dead man. And so they went down. It wasn't moving or nothing, and traffic's going around. And so they, like others, had got on the phone and called 911 to try and see if they could rescue the guy. And then somebody got up nerve, and they went up, and they knocked on the window. When they knocked on the window, the man jumped up. He had fallen asleep. Fallen asleep. I was out with Garth soul winning on Saturday morning. I told him about it, and he says, "Oh yeah, that's happened to me." So what did you learn about that? I'm not going to follow Garth Wilson anywhere on the highway. That's what I learned about that. But now watch this, if you will. I'm saying this. I'm saying that you can lose your focus, and before you know it, you fall asleep. And church doesn't mean as much to you as what it used to, because you've lost your focus.
Yes,
you know, you come to church and you bring your cell phone and you're texting your buddy while you're in church, or leave that thing out. Leave that thing out. You know, when you come to church, give your heart to God, give your focus to God, put your cell phone away, and for just a little bit, focus on God so that God can speak to your heart and help you to be able to make some wise decisions. People come to church nowadays, and I see it all the time, and boy, they just talk and chitter and chatter and chitter and chatter, and make remarks back and forth and chitter and chatter and chitter and chatter. Let God be the one that chitters and chatters inside of your heart. I'm saying this, focus on the Lord. Statement number two, how is it that we can live above reproach, have nothing to do with evil? Have nothing to do with evil. All right, listen to it. Psalm 101 and verse 3, the Bible says, there was set no wicked thing before mine eyes. He says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Verse 4, the Bible says, a froward heart shall depart from me. He says, and I will not know a wicked person. Look at verse 8. The Bible says, I will early destroy the wicked in the land. I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. All right? So decide that you're going to not let wickedness reside in your presence. Now, you have to be careful what you watch on television. Amen. You have to be careful the type of music that you allow around you and around your children. You have to be careful. Years ago at a university, there was Mrs. Jean Looper. Mrs. Jean Looper was a professor in zoology in a university, and she wanted to do an experiment. So she got a television, and for 24 hours, for 2.5 months, she put 24 chickens in front of the television set. Now, this is for real, a real experiment. She said by the end of those 24 hours, for 2.5 months, all 24 of those chickens developed glaucoma and became blind. Because for 24 hours, for 2.5 months, they stared at that tube as they were awake, and they became blind. I'm saying what you put before you can affect you. I'm saying you have to be careful. It was Thomas Clarington that said this, the greatest security against sin is the shock of its presence. The greatest security against sin is the shock of its presence. I think we've lost our shock. You know, years ago, a rated R movie was a rated R movie, and a Christian would not dare turn it on. But today, people watch rated R movies just like they're the old PG movies. They've lost the shock of it. Years ago, on the television set, if there was somebody that was drinking, they'd turn it off. If there was rock music, they would turn it off, or something like that. If it's a premarital sex or an act of homosexuality or a shooting or killing or whatever, and we've let it slide and we've let it slide and we let it slide and we let it slide, and before you know it, we're just used to everything. We're just used to everything. In London, England, a 16-year-old boy was in a juvenile court, and his dad was testifying before the judge. And the judge said, "I don't understand. Why is it that your son behaves the way that he behaves?" He was sitting in school, and he wasn't paying attention. He was always getting into mischief. And then when he was sitting there, he would almost go into a zombie state. And the dad said, "I don't know why." And the judge continued to question him and put him before Robert Leavener, which is a professor of psychology there at New York State University, and found out that the boy was addicted to extreme television programming watching. And he was so used to watching the excitement of the bombs, and this is a testimony, excitement of the explosions, the excitement of all the murders and all of the vulgarity and all of the violence and all those acts over and over and over again, that when he came to school, stay with me now, when he came to school, he was bored. He was bored. You know why is it that people cannot sit still in a church service where a man of God gets up and opens the eternal Word of God? They're bored. You know why they're bored? They fill their mind with so much other activity that they become bored, and they can't sit still long enough to be able to get a truth because they've got all this other stuff that's interrupting their system. By the way, let me ask you something. When's the last time your child read a book? When's the last time your child came into the living room, you had a decent conversation? When's the last time you had a conversation? When's the last time you were able to sit down and discuss scripture with your child and they seemed interested? When's the last time? When's the last time you held a spiritual conversation with your child and they seemed like they were interested in spiritual things? When you talk about your child and how they did out on teen soul winning, what do they say? Do they say it was fun? Or do they say, "I tell you what, I went out tonight and I knocked on the door and this lady, she was so burdened and I had prayer with her and I tried to encourage her and I wish we'd pray for her today." Do they have a spiritual sensitivity to the needs of others? Or are they living a shallow Christian life? Is it just about the fun? Is it just about the games? Or are they really serious? Are they more interested in getting off of a bus route than staying on a bus route? Are they more interested in getting out of church than getting in church? Do you see that they care? Do you see that when it's raining outside, they're the ones that volunteer to go out and get wet and hold an umbrella for somebody older than they to come into a church service? Do you see that they care? When somebody comes to the door that's older than they, do they open the door for that person? Or do they just look at the person and say, "Now, wait a minute, I'm not going to open the door for you unless you give me money." You know, what do they do? Do they serve? Do they keep the rooms clean? Do they help to keep the car clean? Well, we're not going anywhere with this tonight, are we? Now, I'm saying this. Somebody wrote this years ago, that the TV is my shepherd. It's the 23rd channel. The television is my shepherd. My spiritual growth I shall not want. It maketh me to sit down and do nothing for his name's sake, because it requireth all of my leisure time. It keepeth me from doing my duty as a Christian, because it presenteth me with good shows that I can see. It restoreth my knowledge of the things of the world. It keepeth me from studying the Word of God. It leadeth me beside the paths of failing church members as I learn to fail myself, being captured by my television. Yes, though I be 100, I will always keep viewing my television as long as it will work, for it is my closest companion. It presenteth me entertainment before me, it keepeth me from the important things that is of God and of the family. It fills my head with ideas for which those things that I could have rather found in the Word of God to be negative and wrong. By the way, listen, the Bible says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Why is it that your parents have to tell you to turn something off? Why is it that your parents have to tell you you shouldn't be watching that? Why is it that all of a sudden your wife comes in the room and tells you that, honey, I don't think you ought to be watching that, and she'll say this to give you the out in front of the kids? Number one, focus on the Lord. I'm talking about how to live above reproach. Number two, have nothing to do with evil. Number three, cast away pride. You know, you can always tell when somebody's full of pride because when you get onto them, all of a sudden they get huffy. Many times more than not, especially if they have a foolish heart, they'll get huffy. You know, if they have a critical heart, they'll get huffy. The Bible says here, it says, rebuke not a scorner, lest he hate thee. So when you rebuke somebody that has a critical heart, here's what they do. They rise up and they get hatred in their heart. And boy, they'll gather around with their friends and they'll begin to criticize a mama or they'll begin to criticize a daddy because after all, they got onto me and I'm embarrassed by that. And that's an element of pride. Psalm 101 in verse 5, the Bible says, whoso privily, it says, slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. He that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. He says this, he that worketh deceit and dwell, it says, within my house, he that telleth lies, and the Bible says, and not tarry in my sight. Now, wait a minute. Did you know we've got to be careful not to be lifted up with pride. There was Linus one day talking over things with Charlie Brown. I know you'll be very interested in the spiritual depth right here. And so Linus was explaining to Charlie Brown. He said, look, he said, when I get big, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be a very humble doctor in a small country area. I'm going to continue to live in the city, but I'm going to get in my fancy sports car and I'm going to zoom out to the country. And I'm going to heal all the people in the country. And then I'm going to get back in my fancy sports car. And I'm going to zoom back to the city. And I'm going to become a world-famous, humble, little country doctor. But it doesn't sound like that goes together. You know, now I'm saying this. I'm saying sometimes we get carried away by what we think is a great thing and really what we're wrapped up. Well, I deserve that position. I deserve to be able to do that. Boy, I tell you what, if they just knew how good I was, I'd be able to do that. I'd be able to accomplish that. And it's all up to me. Now, wait a minute, though. What about being up to God? What about letting God, he's the one that chooses to lift someone up and to put somebody else down. There was the Dominica Rooster. The Dominica Rooster earned a testimony as being a very powerful, powerful rooster. It was a fighting rooster. And this fella owned a Dominica Rooster. And he said, boy, he said, my rooster can whoop any rooster that's out there. You put him in a fight. And boy, he said, he'll whoop any rooster out there. He said, it's one of the greatest roosters that God ever created, but he has one problem. At a certain time during the day, he stops and he just decides he wants to crow. And so every time in the fight, he gets his times all confused because he's so proud of himself. He'll start to beat up another rooster and he'll stop there and he'll look around at the crowd and he'll just begin to crow. And he said, while he's crowing, that other rooster, no matter how small he is, would jump on him and would just tear him to shreds. And he'll lose every single fight because he's a proud, crowing rooster. Now, can I tell you, you and I could lose every single battle that we have against the world, the flesh, and the devil because we're like that that Dominista rooster that begins to crow like we've already won the battle. The Bible says when pride cometh, then cometh shame. It says, and with the lowly is wisdom. The Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. There was the heavyweight boxing champion of the world at one time, Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali recently died, and he was a professing Muslim. I wish that perhaps somebody would have gotten the gospel. But Muhammad Ali would say, Muhammad Ali would say that he was the greatest of all. He would say that I am the king. But the latter part of his life, he was broken down so much by Parkinson's disease. Now, can I tell you that God is the greatest of all? And God has a way to humble us, doesn't he? He really does. You know, I'm busy and I forget things. And I tell people all the time. I say, I'm so busy, I forget things. And so you got to remind me of something. Send me a text on that. Or jot me a note. Or give me this. Or give me that. Now, wait a minute. That's one of the weaknesses that I have. And so I know that. So I'm always trying to do things to be able to help me with that weakness so that I don't forget things. I carry a book around with me all the time and I write things down to be able to remind myself of things that I need to care for. Years ago, there was the 7-time Tour de France winner by the name of Lance Armstrong. And Lance Armstrong said all the way through that I denounce the use of drugs. I'm not going to have any dope in my blood. And then he said, while I'm cycling, I will never do that. But did you know, after he quit cycling, he changed his patterns and he got on drugs and it ruined his life? I'm saying you have to be very, very careful not to be somebody that walks around with pride all the time. Over in Proverbs chapter 15, I'm almost done, in verse 33, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. It says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. So we have to decide that we humble ourselves. D.L. Moody said this, God sends no one away empty except for those that already came full. God sends no one away empty except for those that already came full. John Newton, that wrote Amazing Grace, he said, when I get to heaven, there will be 3 wonders that I will see when I get to heaven. Wonder number 1 is the people that I think should not be there that is. Wonder number 2, the people that I think should be there that's not. Wonder number 3, I'm there. Wonder number 3, I'm there. Now, he didn't doubt that Jesus was the one that gave eternal life, but he was humbled by the fact that Jesus Christ saved him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, here's what it says. It says, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous. It says, the righteousness of God in him. Now, wait a minute. All right. So what do I do? What do I do in order to live above reproach? What do I do? I focus my eyes on the Lord. Does it please him? Does it please him? Is that something I've got in my life that doesn't please him? If it's something, and by the way, you're always going to have to work on it. You're always going to have to tweak it. You're always going to have to keep focusing on it over and over and over again. You just keep looking at it and looking at it. Does this please the Lord? Does this please the Lord? Does this please the Lord? Does this honor the Lord? Does this please the Lord? You decide that you're going to focus on him. And if you focus on him, can I tell you, every single time he'll help you to be able to make wise decisions. Statement number 2, have nothing to do with evil. Nothing to do with evil. I was on a plane, and this guy I witnessed to, and I told him that I was pastor of Parkside Baptist Church here in Mesquite. Oh, and he said, I'm also a preacher. I said, you are? He said, oh, yes, I am. Named his church. And I said, oh, that's wonderful. 2 preachers sitting together on a plane. We're going to have a wonderful time. And so they came down and they said, do you want wine? Do you want wine? Do you want red or white? Wine, red or white? Wine, red or white? Is an international flight. Wine, red or white? Wine, red or white? Red or white? Wine. And he said, oh, I'll take red. And I looked at him. And I said, I thought you said you were a preacher. I thought you said you were a believer. What are you doing? And he said, I always drink these on the flight. I said, and you name the name of Christ? I'm ashamed of you. He said, you are. I said, well, certainly I am. I'm ashamed of you. You ought not do that. You ought not do that. And he goes, oh. And he said, well, okay. And he didn't get it. But it's like he never heard it before. You know, it's amazing to me how many people don't know what they should do, and they do things because they just don't know. I don't know if it's never been preached. I don't know if it's never been taught. But certainly they must not be in their Bible, because you can read what to do and what not to do in the Bible. God can tell you what to do and what not to do. So I'm saying, have nothing to do with evil. Have nothing to do with evil. Now, okay, and so I was out soul winning one time, and I had a partner, and whenever he get nervous, he'd smoke. And he got nervous, and he had him with him. And he's back there, and can I tell you, he progressed to try and light one up and smoke because he was nervous. Now, I don't think that's the very best thing to do. Come on. You're out soul winning one day, and somebody says, well, I tell you what, they're drinking beer, and they say, here, have one on me. Don't say, well, thank you very much, and then take it and drink it and try and lead them to Christ. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm talking to deacons. Don't do that. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying have nothing to do with evil. Have nothing to do with evil. Clean up your mouth. Clean up what you look at. Clean up where you go. Have nothing to do with evil. Then a last statement I said is cast away the pride. Just cast away the pride. You know, it's those that walk around like many roosters that find themselves getting in trouble. You know, boy, I tell you what. And by the way, people that are full of pride are more easily to offend. Did you know that? Because they think that they deserve more than what they got. They think that they're somebody. And boy, they walk around like, boy, you know, I'm somebody. Boy, I know this and I don't know that. Boy, I tell you what. Now, can I tell you, be careful that pride does not destroy you. Be careful about that. It's only by the good grace of God that we're saved. It's only by the good grace of God that we have the privilege to serve Jesus Christ. It's only by the good grace of God that we get to go soul winning and tell other people about Jesus Christ. It's only by the good grace of God that we live today and we breathe today and we walk today and we're able to tell the good story of what God has done in us and through us. And I'm saying this, don't be somebody that's lift up with pride. You know, some people, because they're lifted up with so much pride and they're so proud of themselves, they don't help other people. They don't help other people. They say, well, I can't help them because they're lower than I am. No, you're about as low as they come. You can help them. They're really on your level. You know, you don't have to bend over to help somebody. Just try and reach out and love somebody and help them. I'm saying this, cast out the pride. Cast out the pride. Well, you know, they're just not like I am. And they thank God every day for it, I promise you. But you reach over and you try to help them. You try to reach out to them. You try to love them. You try to encourage them. You know, because everybody needs somebody, don't they? Amen. Sure they do. Everybody needs somebody. You look for the person. I'm done, but here it is. Can I help you a little bit? Look for the person that always comes to church and sits by themselves. Look for them. I don't look around tonight because go up and give them $50. Amen. Now start looking. But if they're always coming, I'm talking about always. I'm not talking about tonight. I'm talking about always, 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 always. And they're coming around always and they're sitting by themselves. Then why don't you take it upon yourself to become their friend? You say, well, I don't see that we'd have nothing in common. You don't know that. You don't know that till you try. Why don't you go out to Brahms tonight and treat them to a burger? It's already stopped raining. It's early. Everybody in here is hungry. Invite us all. We'll all go. All right. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying spend time. Cast out the pride. I don't like the way they walk. That's okay. I don't like the way they talk. That's all right. I don't like. They don't tell jokes well. That's okay. They're too short. They're too tall. They're too skinny. They're too wide. They're look. You know, church is more than just coming and listening to preaching and then going home. There's more to it. Honestly, there is, and you're missing the blessing. There's more to it. Instead of taking off tonight right after church, go out there and stand in the lobby and feel like you're in the middle of an ocean. And start saying, "Help, help, will somebody help me?" You know, and see if somebody comes along and says, "I'll be glad to help you." Come on. You know, you'd be surprised how many people we have in our church that cares about people, but they don't know that you need caring for. Yeah, walk up the summit. Don't ruin this tonight, please. Stand up. Stand up. Walk up to somebody and say, look, I tell you, I've been at Parkside Baptist Church for some time now, and I need a friend. Will you be my friend?
I'll be your friend.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I don't know, what does friends do?
They eat.
All right, he's listening, paying attention. And that's great. Where do you want to go eat?
Cheddar's.
Man, I forgot my wallet. Is that okay? I just come and you take care of it this time, I'll take care of it next time.
Sure.
And next time we go out, you take care of it and I'll take care of it next time. Next time we go, no, okay. All right, now wait a minute, watch this, okay? I'm saying this. I'm saying that you take and you can invest in somebody else's life. I really do believe that we miss it. We're a soul winning church. I thank God for that. I do thank God for that. But there's more to it. You didn't hear what I said. I said there's more to it. You know, and I thank God we're sorting church. I mean, I led 5 people to Christ on Saturday, and I stayed out till 5 o'clock or longer. And I'm faithful to the cause of what I believe in. Okay, but now wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. But there's more to it. Text somebody during the week, and say, "How you doing? Thinking about you." Call somebody up and say, "Hey, look, just thinking about you today. How's your day going?" Well, you say, "That's not me." Then become a different you. You can do what you want to do. It's not always about you. You know, become a different you. Come out of yourself. By the way, I've seen some of you come out of yourself. Pretty ugly sight, if you ask me. But I've seen some of you come out of yourself. All right. Well, you know, come out of yourself and go talk to somebody. Go talk to somebody. You say, "I don't know how to do that." All right, let me help you. How long you been coming here?
5 years.
5 years. Wow. You know, hey, I've been coming here 6. I don't think we've ever talked much. How do you like it? You like it? You love it? That's great. Married?
Yes.
Children?
Yes.
Hobbies?
Yes.
Good, good. What's some of the stuff you like to do? What's some of the stuff you like to do?
I like to eat.
Me too.
Yeah. Right, that's right.
You ever been over to that, what's that place I used to make fun of?
McDonald's?
No. What? Griff's, thank you. Stay on my right there. And you ever been to Griff's?
I have been to Griff's.
They fixed that place up. Do you know that? I mean, it looks nice now. Don't look like a truck stop no more. And boy, you know, hey, how about if we get together and go for a burger one time? You want to do it?
Sounds
you want to do
great.
It? You want to do it? What are you doing Tuesday? Do you eat lunch on Tuesday?
I eat lunch on Tuesday.
You want to do Tuesday?
Let's do Tuesday.
Tuesday is a good deal right there. Okay. Now, wait. We're entering in. We're entering in. Okay. And it doesn't have to be expensive. Hey, preacher's short tonight. It's only 7:13. He's only got 2 more minutes left, and he'll be done. And hey, you want to go to Brahms tonight? Brahms, they have ice cream.
Sounds
we go
good.
Dutch. We go Dutch. Okay, that don't mean we know a Dutch. That means we go. You pay your way, I pay my way.
Sounds great.
You want to do that?
Let's do it.
Dutch ice cream tonight. Want to? You want to bring your wife?
Sure.
And your child?
Sure.
Hey, I'll bring my wife. I'll bring my child. Child, children. All, yeah, those that are single, I'll bring them. And you enter in. I'm just trying to teach something practical, so I think we're failing at it, to be honest with you. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I just think we're failing at it. We have people who are new members of their church, new members of our church right here, their church. They're new members of their church. We have people that's new members of our church, and you're not trying to get to know them. You say, well, they're too old. They're too young. They're too intelligent. They dress too fancy. They don't dress fancy enough. They sit on that side of the auditorium. I'd have to walk 5 steps to get to them. No way. You have to spend time. But you have to do it yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to do it. You didn't hear me, did you? You have to do it. You have to come out of your shell. Well, you know, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms. Well, you can find something better to eat than worms. I'm saying you go out of your way. You go soul winning. Take somebody with you that you've never taken before. You could walk up beside someone tonight. There'd be nothing wrong with this whatsoever. You could walk up beside someone coming down the aisle and just stand up like it's invitation. And he's just standing there and he's just not participating. You can come down the aisle and say, hey, look, will you pray with me?
Yes, sir.
I don't think anybody in the church is going to say, no way. I'm not going to pray with you. Who do you think you are? But you could do that and bring somebody to the altar with you. And, okay, hey, listen, I appreciate you praying with me. Do you have any burdens?
Yes, sir, a few.
Okay, don't tell me right now. why don't you share a burden with me and let's pray together. I'm on microphone. And, all right, now, okay, and then you pray with them. You pray with them, see? You know, you could do that. You ladies could do that. You can get up now. We're done praying. And we're done playing with you, too. And all right. But you could do that. That's a way to get to know people. Did you know that?
That's right.
There used to be a day in our church when shortly after I became pastor. Oh, I think leading up and even into the 2-year tender where we would see girls that would come to the altar. Girls. And they'd get around the altar. They'd pray and they'd bawl. Now, I didn't much care for the bawling, but they would pray and they would bawl and they'd be close together. They'd be close together. Come on. The old adage that says the family that prays together stays together. What about the church? What about the church? Well, I don't want to pray with so-and-so. I mean, after all, oh, get over it. All right, I'm not going to quit. But I'm going to give you one last illustration. I'm done. Amen. I promise this is it. This is it. I'm done. I promise you that. I was in Bible college every Friday. I go up to the weight room. I asked Brother Appleby that was the dean of men. He was an outstanding Christian. And I said, I've got a burden for my parents. I want them to get saved. I said, but the dorm, you know, all the guys coming in late at night, they're making a racket and then they'll come over, if I'm kneeling beside my bed, they'll come over, hey, Mike, how you doing? What are you praying about? Da-da-da-da-da-da. They want a whole conversation. I said, I need a place to get away. Is there any way you would allow me to go to the weight room at 10 o'clock and just pray until about 11 for mom and daddy to get saved? And he said, well, let me think on it. Get back with me. So he did, and he went to the vice president of the college, and they said, okay, you can do that. Here's the key. Nobody else is allowed in there with you. You can do it. Don't turn on the light. There's light shining in the window. Don't turn on the light. That way, you know, nobody thinks that we're giving you privileges that nobody else has. I said, okay, it's fair. So I would go in and you'd open the door, you know, and oftentimes nobody's going to go up there. It was on the 3rd floor and nobody was going to visit that thing. And sure enough, I didn't think anybody had ever come up. One night, the door squeaked open while I was praying, and in walked the stature of a man. He came over. He saw where I was kneeling. He didn't say a word. He got on his knees. He put his arm around me, and he started to pray for my mom and daddy. He started crying for my mom and dad to get saved. He got up when he got done praying and left. I was still kneeling there. This went on week after week. I went back to Brother Appleby and I said, there's somebody coming up to pray with me, and I'm not talked to him. I didn't invite him. I don't want to get them in trouble, but it means a lot to me. Would that be okay? This gentleman had already gone to Brother Appleby and asked permission, and he kept coming. He kept crying. There was a fellow that was at her Bible college I couldn't stand. Couldn't stand him. He had buck teeth. I'm not against people with buck teeth. But he had buck teeth. And when he would eat, he would talk. And he could not keep the food in his mouth because of his teeth. I couldn't stand it. I would sit down in front of him a couple of times and he would share his food. He'd be talking. I mean, it's like a shotgun. You pull the trigger and it everywhere. Couldn't stand it. Just couldn't stand it. So then I'd go in and I'd make sure that he sat down in the lunchroom before I would sit down. And then I would sit on the other side of the lunchroom, out of harm's way. And he'd get up and he'd walk over. And he'd sit down right across from me and want to hold conversation. Never would sit beside me. Wanted to sit across from me every time because he said he could communicate better that way. And he was doing a good job communicating better that way. Couldn't stand it. Couldn't stand it. Went in my mouth, went in my food. Couldn't stand it. Later I find out this is the one that was coming up to pray with me. You know, as he prayed with me, I want to tell you something. My heart changed. You know who was best man in my wedding? You know who I would not let sit across from you as I would eat at the table of the reception at my wedding? I don't care if he was best man or not. But he spent time with me. Do you get it? He wasn't in a hurry. He didn't just check in and check out. We became friends. He pastors today. I pastor today. He's doing a good job today. Now, can I tell you, friends. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that God can do that in this church right here. God can do that. God can do that. There ought to be teen girls that go to the altar and pray together. There ought to be some women that get other women and pray. Ought to be some men that get other men and pray. Ought to be husbands and wives that pray together. Moms and daddies that pray together. Children and parents that pray together. And serve God together. And listen to me, not a bad word, fellowship. It's not a bad word. It's not. Well, you know, if I'm not soul winning, I'm not right with God. Okay, we'll add that in there, but fellowship. Fellowship. Talk to people. Get to know people. Spend time with people. Don't let your life rush by being in a soul-winning church like us and not know your fellow members. Don't do that. That's why you don't enjoy church. You don't enjoy church because you don't have any friends. You don't have any friends because you don't want to get to have friends. You're the one that has to. Nobody's going to come to your house and eat. I've never seen that happen. I'm not going to show up at your house tonight and say, well, I'm here. What are we eating? What's in your refrigerator? I like to look. You know, boy, I like that. Oh, I want some of that stuff right there. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to do it. But if you want a close church, you have got to break down and to get to know other people. You have to do that. And by the way, the only way to do that is to come out of your protective castle and be able to reach in. Look, nobody's going to change my convictions. Nobody. Nobody. But I can love everybody. And I can spend time with everybody. And I can help everybody. And I can be there for everybody. And so can you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.